The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's a second and 10 from the pocket. It's picked off, and it's Miller with the interception. Brady looking around, and he is taken down. Quarter number three. And Brady fields the snap from the eight. He's in trouble. And he's hit hard by Von Miller. Gronkowski back out here for third and 10. Manning is sacked yet again. It's Von Miller with the game on the line. Brady in the pocket. End zone down. And it is caught by Gronkowski. Here's Brady. Rolling out, rolling and throwing. It's tipped in the air. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted by Roby. He lost the football. Denver wins it. Heading to Super Bowl 50.
There's no question this is a sweet day. This was a sweet victory. To me, this victory sort of is a great example of what this entire season has been like. It hasn't been easy. That would help us get that win. So it's been a unique season. There's no question about it. And this game today was a unique football game. But everybody did their part. Truly was a team win.
Bomber gets hit. Down he goes. Ball's out. Recovered by Keithley. Northcutt. Hits it sideways. And on the run, it is off the arms of Peterson. And now the fight for the football. Bomber has it knocked out of his hand. Can't get to it. Boston is there. Did he cover up? He did. Bomber. End zone. Gives it back. Intercepted by Coleman. Only three men on the rush. Pump fake. Toward the end zone. Up for grabs and picked off by Coleman. His second of the game. Traded to Arizona from Oakland in 2013. The record-setting year. He's picked again. Keithley. For the touchdown. This one is picked again. Intercepted by Boston. The Carolina Panthers are NFC champions. And Ron Rivera is going to the Super Bowl.
You played it out so many times in your mind. And so for when you run a touchdown, when you throw a touchdown, when you flip an end zone, it's kind of like that dream is now becoming a reality.
Well, there's only one game left that matters, and we have 2 8 weeks to make a spectacle of it. So let's go ahead and start spectacling. Hey, it's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman. The role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Lee Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it was Championship Sunday yesterday.
It was.
One game was, it was close. I don't know how competitive that Broncos game was because I thought the Broncos kind of dominated, in the score.
Yeah, the score was closer than the game.
And one game that wasn't close at all.
It was not close in any measure.
No, and it was interesting to me because I kept thinking at some point, well, the Patriots will figure out how to stop this pass rush. This is what they do. And they never did. I mean, the Broncos defense was the most dominant unit of any team yesterday. Played as well as I've seen them play all year.
I'd argue Carolina's defense was right up there with them.
Yeah, although I think the difference was once Arizona got down, they started pressing, and that's when the turnover started happening.
Yeah.
And that game got out of hand in a hurry. And we see this all the time, and it's one reason why the early line already has, I think Carolina's -4.5.
Went from 3.5.
Yeah, instant public reaction to that.
No doubt.
And in reality, I think what the Broncos did was every bit as impressive, if not more so. I mean, Tom Brady got hit yesterday more than any quarterback has been hit all season long in any game.
That's crazy.
And if you think about that, because that includes a lot of games with Blake Bortles and guys like that standing in the pocket and just getting drilled behind a bad offensive line.
That also includes guys like Cam Newton who run around behind, you know, behind an offensive line and try to make something happen, and often it doesn't work out. But yeah, that guy took a lot of shots.
He did, and they never adjusted to it. He looked as rattled as I've ever seen him in a game. And in truth, they really had no business getting that close at the end. Part of it was the Broncos, I think, got a little bit too conservative in the second half, especially on offense. And the Patriot defense played really well, too. It was just kind of overshadowed a little bit. But that game didn't go anywhere near like I thought it would, because I thought the Patriots would be able to score points and that the Broncos would need some help defensively in scoring points, which they got. But so did the Patriots on that backwards lateral, I know I don't have access to all the TV angles.
Right.
Please explain that one to me, because I sure didn't see it, no matter how many times they replayed it. It didn't look like something you could overturn.
No.
To me, it looked like one of those that, however you called it, that was probably how it was going to have to stay. And then maybe they had access to something we didn't.
Could have been.
Because I sure didn't see it. But impressive performance by both the winners yesterday.
Yeah, I thought that for the Broncos to win, they were going to have to, and I think I said this multiple times last week, they were going to have to get Brady's jersey dirty.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did. And what's funny is, it's not like they were using exotic blitzes or anything like that. They sent three guys most of the day. It was just the same three guys rushing. It was Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, and DeMarcus Ware. And those three guys did everything that they needed to do. They dominated. That Patriots offensive line, to be fair, they use like their 15th or 16th combination of guys on that offensive line. I mean, they've been a mess all season long health-wise, but they didn't even – I don't want to say they performed poorly. I mean, they didn't perform at all.
No, and it wasn't just the offensive line. It was the coaching staff not adjusting to that by giving them some help. Get an extra tight end to block. Get your running back to actually block. They were completely confused by what the Broncos were doing. And it was impressive to watch, and I think Peyton Manning was, it's obvious he's not the same player, but I talked about this last week. It's like he still puts the ball where it needs to go. He knows where to go with it. It just doesn't always get there in time.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of really good plays, and when they got that lead, they didn't need him to take chances. And in the end, I mean, I think the better team won, and I did not think that going in. I thought the Patriots were clearly the better team, especially with Gronkowski and Edelman. And I came away very impressed by what Denver did.
I just think that, if you just look at the, what's sexy about it. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots offense is clearly better than the Broncos. And when we think of the best teams nowadays, especially, we think of teams that can move the ball around at will. And I think it's kind of surprising, but at the same time, I think it's kind of cool that the two best defenses in the league are playing for a championship now.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's going to be a very interesting matchup in terms of styles, because, they are the two best defenses. I think how Cam Newton does against that Broncos defense, does he add that extra dimension of taking off and running, and how the Broncos deal with that? And I think the Panthers have a better offensive line than what the Patriots threw out there significantly. So I'm excited about that game. I like the matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Having said that, I think 4.5 is too many points, and I've already punched a ticket on that.
Yeah, I like 4.5, but I'm going to be selfish and wait a little bit longer, because I think it's just going to keep going up.
It might, but I think, to me, 3 was going to be the number, and anything outside of that I was going to feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
And 4.5 I felt pretty good about. So, but I think it's you look at that Panthers team and some of the things they did yesterday. It's just one of those games, and we see this in the playoffs sometimes, where once things start going wrong for a team, everything goes wrong for a team. And there was just so many little things, and I give R.J. Bell credit for this, some of the things that he brought up on Friday, like the field and Carson Palmer's finger and all these little things. I think there was a lot to that, because they just never looked comfortable, and then once they got behind, they were having to force things. And it didn't work. And last week we saw the Seahawks do that and come back. And this week you know, the Cardinals just start turning the ball over and trying to force plays, and it was game over. So, anyway, we will talk a lot about that matchup. We got a couple of weeks. I'm actually looking forward to getting out there now because that's going to be I think it's a really good matchup. It may not be the sexiest matchup. I mean, if we want sexy, we probably would have wanted Cardinals-Patriots because there would have been more points.
Yeah.
But I like this because it is kind of the, you know, the last run for Manning. It's whether or not it's Cam Newton's coming out party. I mean, all of those things kind of play into it, and it's two damn good defenses with really good defensive players. And I'm interested to see, you know, Thomas Davis broke his arm. He got it operated on today so he could play in the Super Bowl.
I don't think he's going to play in the Super Bowl.
That dude, I would bet if there's any way he can do it, he'll be out there.
I'm sure. I just don't think he'll be able to.
Well, he was saying today that he was going to get a plate put in there or something to cover the bone while he plays.
And even if he does, he's definitely not going to be as effective as he has been.
No, but that guy's been through so much. I'd like to see him get on the field.
I would, too. That's a guy who deserves it. I will say this. I was clearly wrong because I've been saying damn near all season long, Arizona's the best team in the league. And they didn't even show up yesterday. I mean, they were completely, completely overmatched.
Yeah, and
I felt sorry for Carson Palmer at the end of that game.
Yeah, I kind
of
did too.
I was like, just pull him out of the game. I mean, there was nothing he was going to be able to do. We talked about him needing time to get rid of the ball. He didn't have it, and then when he did, he was missing throws. It was about as bad of a big game as you could have imagined for Carson Palmer. I felt bad for a guy who's had a career arc like his. To where it looks like finally, you know, after all this, he was finally going to pan out and people were going to, you know, give him the respect that a lot of people had kind of, you know, a lot of people had thrown dirt on that guy as a number one pick and just said, oh, he's never going to live up to what that expectation was. Had he won that game yesterday, it would have been hard to argue, but it did not go his way. And if coming back from the injury, and plus, guy spent almost his entire career in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Like in the dark days of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
This was a big opportunity for him. And I don't want to make it sound like it's all his fault, but a lot of it was. He just didn't play well.
Yeah. And it's kind of a shame because that'll be the last thing you remember from this season.
Yep.
And in truth, the guy had a great year.
Guy had a near MVP caliber season.
He had an MVP caliber season. I just think Cam Newton had a little bit better one, and that's why he's going to win it. But it'll be easy to forget that when you look at the game he had yesterday. But, yeah, that was I've kind of sold the Panthers short all year long. I've kind of sold the Broncos short all year long. And I was wrong. Be the first one to admit it.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about my computer career. If you're having another boring day at the job that you hate, or it's a job that's making you work crazy hours, or whatever it may be, you're just not making enough money, you need to think about these guys over at My Computer Career. Ask yourself this. How many people do you know who work in the computer field, and everyone's got a buddy in IT, and none of those guys are broke? They're all making good dough because there's a ton of computer jobs out there, and IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country. And a place to go to get those skills you need is mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. They've got job placement specialists that'll work with you to get you hired. And Houston is one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. This is a hot spot, guys. There's companies hiring IT guys all over Houston. But to get these jobs, you got to have the skills and certification. And obviously, I know what you're thinking. Going back to school is going to take too much time. You know it would help, but you just don't have the time or the money to do it. Well, not at My Computer Career. You'll be in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid is available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation and tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. We'll take some phone calls if you want to get in. Hope you're having a great movie Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend as well. Did you have a good weekend, Mr. Hoffman?
I had a strong to very strong weekend, I would say.
Very cool.
It was good. It was good.
That was nice and quiet.
Yeah.
I didn't like the games as much from a betting perspective, so I wound up dead even for the weekend. But I'm kind of getting to that point where, you know what, I don't need to bet even if there's only two games left because I got other stuff. I can play horses. Yeah. I can play whatever. So I wound up betting small on both games. And after talking to RJ, I kind of flip-flopped from Arizona to Carolina, but I didn't bet enough for it to matter. It was just enough to make back what I lost on the Patriots.
Yeah, I bet Denver at +3 and +3.5 and on the money line, but I did the same exact thing on Arizona. Hmm. So because of my money line bet, I end up a little bit up, but not enough to puff my chest out over.
Yeah, I just...
And plus it felt like... Watching that second game made me feel like I had no business even betting money on football for any reason.
It just got out of hand, though. I mean, that's one of those things that happens. Let's grab a phone call. Adam, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yes, sir. Sports, fellas.
Hey, sports to you, man.
Hey, I'm seeing a line right now. Panthers -6. Denver +6. Just wondering what side of the fence you guys would jump on there.
I would be on Denver +6 in a heartbeat.
Yeah, since I already did it at +4.5, yeah. I would love it at +6.
That's what I said. I think it'll be a touchdown by the time it goes. I mean, I think it'll be a.
If it does, I'll double down at that point for more money. But yeah, I think there's value at 4.5 in the underdog there. I think it's if Denver can play the way that it did yesterday and play a conservative game and keep the score down, then that's going to be their path to winning the football game. And if nothing else, it's going to be their path to losing by a field goal. So I'll take the 4.5.
I will say this. I don't want to poo-poo the performance because the Broncos looked really good. Peyton Manning is not going to get away with nearly the crap that he was getting away with against New England.
No, they're going.
He was floating some balls out there.
Well, see, I thought that this week, though. I said the same thing about the Steeler game. It's like, yeah, that stuff he did against the Steelers, that won't fly against the Patriots. It did.
The Patriots' defense is not the Panthers' defense, though.
No, but.
Those guys are, that's a different level.
They're going to have to be able to run the football, I think, to have a chance.
Yeah.
And their running game has been hit and miss. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Jock on the text line says the way the Panthers are playing really doesn't matter who they play at this point. Denver doesn't have a chance, and I'm not just going off the last two games. They showed this all year long, and it will continue in the Super Bowl. They have been the best team in the regular season since halfway through last year.
Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Playoff-wise, I mean, they certainly did ratchet it up a little bit, but let's not forget, they damn near let the Seahawks back in the game, and they've done that all year, too. They've let teams back in the game late. I think they're the better team, but, I mean, I don't think there's that much of a difference when you're talking about the two best defenses in the league. I'll take the points with that every time.
Yep.
That's just from that perspective. From a game perspective, yeah, I think Carolina's probably going to win. But I was impressed by what Denver did yesterday, especially defensively. And now Carolina is a different challenge for them because there is that element of Cam Newton being able to take off and run that nobody's really found a way to deal with. And that'll be interesting. But otherwise, man, I think these teams are pretty close. But I did think Arizona and Carolina were pretty close, too. Yeah. And that didn't really work out. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also thought this was kind of a fun, if meaningless, stat. Well, it's not really a stat, just a fact. The Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
It's going to feature two head coaches that have something in common. Care to guess what it is?
I don't think either one of them is a very good coach.
Well, there's that, but they also both replaced John Fox.
Oh, okay.
As Rivera replaced him in Carolina, and now Kubiak's replaced him in Denver.
What's crazy is I think John Fox is a pretty good coach.
I honestly think he's probably a better coach than both of these guys.
Yeah.
But I don't want to crap on the job that Gary Kubiak did this year because, I mean, I think he's obviously grown as a coach. And I've already had people say, oh, did the Texans screw up by firing him? No, the he had lost the team, He had lost the faith of everybody. So it was the right thing to do. And he went back. He kind of rebuilt himself last year in Baltimore, got another chance with a better team. And, you know, good for him. I mean, I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy for Wade. And, you know, but I do think, I don't think he elevated that team any more than what John Fox had last year. I think John Fox had a broken down Peyton Manning in the playoffs. And this Peyton Manning is not broken. He's not superstar Peyton Manning, but he's not broken.
Right.
So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, so I think it's kind of cool to see those guys get there. And I think they certainly earned their spot because, to me, they beat the two best teams in the AFC. And that's – your coaching's got to have a little bit to do with that. You know, you can't be a totally crappy coach and go out there and win those games. So I don't think he's great by any standards, but good for him. The there's a lot of interesting stats we'll get to, and some of the gambling stuff's kind of funny too. But I think the main thing that I walked away from yesterday was right when I think people have kind of figured out what Wade Phillips does. Boy, he came up with some stuff yesterday that Belichick and his crew could not adjust to. As you were saying, man, getting pressure with three guys. I mean, that's having really good players, really good matchups, and scheming very well. And there were not receivers getting open. That was the other half of that, because Brady didn't have much time to throw, and they were all over those short routes, so he couldn't get the ball out in a hurry. And then, you know, when he'd take his shots downfield, he was missing because he was trying to rush. And that's just really, really good defense. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take your phone calls, talk about this, and talk about whatever you want. You want to talk about the Rockets and their huge turnaround? We can do that.
Oh, please.
The Josh Smith, which I have to admit I didn't watch the game yesterday because it was on during a...
I didn't watch the game either. There were so many people talking to me about that game. I was like, yeah, there's football on. And they're like, oh, I've got picture in picture. Listen, I got picture in picture. I got multiple TVs. There was no basketball on in my house during the football games.
Not on Championship Sunday. Not happening.
Way.
Let's try Tim real quick. Go, Tim.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
Hey, I just want to say that I think Carolina's going to run away with it again. Because if you look at the Seattle game, they score on the first five possessions. Arizona score on the first three possessions. They've been doing that. I don't think if Denver gets behind and Manning's able to catch it back up, I just don't think he has it in him.
I don't think so either. I also don't think that Denver's defense is, like I said, I think Denver has the best defense in football. In fact, they have had the best defense in football all season
statistically
long.
They are, certainly.
In Seattle and Arizona are good defenses, but I haven't seen a game this year where the Broncos have just been, you know, had their doors blown off.
Yeah, and that Seahawk defense wasn't the same this year. And I think, yeah, if they get out to a lead against Denver like they did against Arizona, you're going to see the same result. Because if Denver has to start throwing the ball like that and trying to force plays and get back in the game, then Peyton's going to throw a bunch of picks.
I mean, who is the kind of team that's built to come back from a 32-point halftime deficit? There aren't any teams like that.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying 30 points. I'm saying 17 points. I think they're going to have a hard time coming back from. But
well, that's the number that I got to in my, and I don't know if I tweeted or anything, but in my head, the number that I got to yesterday was in the first half. I said, if Arizona falls down by more than 17, you can turn out the lights.
I didn't think they were capable of doing what Seattle did a week ago.
Yeah.
But I know Denver's not. So, yeah, I think the whole key is going to be, you know, does Denver's defense keep them out of the end zone early? Do the Broncos do what they did yesterday, get some turnovers, get a short field, get some easy points? I think that's going to be the key. But, yeah, I would say if right now, if Carolina's up 17-0, there is no chance that Denver comes back. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep the score down. They're going to do what they did yesterday. One thing that I thought was very strange, and I kind of like to get your thoughts on it, was in the Patriots game, I know he's kind of done this all year, but the score's 20-12. There's 6 minutes left in the game. Why do you not take the field goal there? I was okay with, because once you get down there again, then you have to go for it because you passed on the first field goal. With 2 minutes left, you may not get the ball back. But the first one to me, and I know Belichick gambles a lot like this all the time, and he's yeah, more often than not, he does the right thing. But the way that Bronco defense was playing, I did not feel confident that they could get a yard in that situation. To me, take the 3 points, get it inside a touchdown, and try to get back down there again because you still have 6 minutes left.
Yeah, I don't. I kind of feel the same way just because of how much time you had left. But I also kind of understand it was a one-score game, and it wasn't a field goal game. They needed a touchdown, and I think that was the most that the Broncos defense had bent to that point. It was the deepest they'd gotten. And maybe Bill thought that this was their
they weren't getting back
shot.
Down there.
But. Yeah, which is legit when you think about what that defense was doing to Tom Brady.
Yeah, the way the game was going, you certainly had to consider that. But it also seemed like they were finally starting to wear him down a little bit too. All right,
I'm very frustrated that we don't have a clock in here, Jong.
Yeah, this
I mean, I want to figure out who took our clock. How's that happen? Like someone's we'll take this. You kidding me?
I blame Jong. He's in charge of all this stuff. See, somebody stole your headphones. Now somebody's stolen our clock.
Stole our clock.
If I walk over there and see that in that damn Yahoo studio, dude, there's going to be a problem. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
6:03 left in the fourth quarter. You had the fourth and 20-12 was the score. You decided to go for it instead of kick the field goal from the 16. I'm just curious, when you're making that decision, what's sort of the thought process of the best
time and number of possessions that you have left and what you need to do and the number of opportunities that we had to do that, which wasn't very many.
When you're reviewing it, that do you still feel as obviously knowing the result, maybe that changes it, but without taking that aside, like you felt when you look back at the game, do you feel like that was still the right call based on what?
At that time, yeah, there was no hesitation in doing that. Yeah.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. A couple of things. Texter says, Kubiak's won 3 division titles in his last 4 seasons as a head coach and been to the divisional rounds in those seasons as well. Now he's in a Super Bowl after beating Brady and Roethlisberger, all with very inconsistent quarterback plays. What are the criteria for a good head coach? You also can't ignore the 2-14 season in there.
Yeah.
Remember that
time when Belichick went 2-14?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
After building that program for 8 years. And Query Princess, I think, has it perfectly. Says, I don't think Kubiak is a good coach. He's just good enough to not screw up a ready-made good team that he has in Denver. That team he has in Denver is considerably better than anything he had here in Houston. And he didn't screw it up. So he should be praised for that. And then Foster asks, I'm curious who Luke Kuechly reminds you of, guys, of. Zach Thomas comes to mind before the concussions. Zach Thomas was a nice player. He's not anywhere near.
I think more Brian Urlacher is who comes to mind for me.
Brian Urlacher, Derek Brooks a little bit because of his ability to intercept the football.
Yeah. But the interceptions are great, but that guy is the best tackler. I mean, he doesn't miss.
And I mean, he does everything at that position. He can get after the quarterback. He stops the run. He's terrific in coverage, which is amazing. And
I don't like to throw guys like Urlacher and Ray Lewis, guys like that, around lightly, but he's easily the best linebacker that plays football today.
Absolutely. And he's been relatively healthy most of the year with the exception of the concussions. And when he's been healthy, he's played at this level throughout his career. I think if he stays healthy and has a couple more years like this, you're going to put him in conversations with guys like that.
Yep.
Because he's such a big part of what they do. He's so versatile. But, I mean, I don't think Zach Thomas was ever the best player on his team.
Probably not.
Certainly on his defense.
Yeah.
And I think Luke Kuechly is. Although we can make a pretty good case for Josh Norman, too.
A lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Their defense is great.
And if you think about what they've managed to accomplish without mean, they've lost their second and third cornerback, which was a big deal. They were missing Jared Allen yesterday, who did help them some over the second half of the season. I mean, they're a little bit thin back there on in the secondary, and those guys played really well. I mean, you got to give them credit. And I thought it was impressive, and you know, they deserve to be there. You know, you win 15 regular season games, you beat the Seahawks and the Cardinals, you deserve to be in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Super Bowl. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody said pre-roid Cushing. No, he wasn't pre-roid, by the way. He was roiding then, allegedly. Oh, I'm sorry, overtraining then.
Right.
Yeah, he's much better than that. He's, I mean, that guy makes an impact.
Cushing at his best was not Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly makes as much of an impact at his position as J.J. Watt does at his.
Yep.
I think. Absolutely not. So there's one guy happy about Carson Palmer's performance yesterday, Brian Hoyer. Yeah, that's the, okay, welcome to this club of people who really, really sucked in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Here's your t-shirt and hat. Welcome. But, Carson Palmer got a little farther than Brian Hoyer did. But then he was supposed to. His team was supposed to be there. But, I think as bad as he was yesterday, I don't think the whole thing's his fault. I think a lot of it is his fault, mostly his fault. But they ran into a buzzsaw. And, man, games like that get out of hand sometimes. And that's why people are overreacting and saying, oh, nobody's going to beat the Panthers. And, boy, I just keep thinking back to that second half against the Seahawks. And it's like, they can be had.
Yep.
Dustin asked, would you rather have Watt or Kuechly?
I'll take the pass rusher, but
yeah, but it's not something where you can. I mean, it's not a laughable
thing
at all. Yeah, I would take Watt, but it's close.
But I will say, I mean, it's nice to have a pass rusher like that. But Luke Kuechly does everything well, and it's almost like he. I'm not trying to like overstate what he could do, but it's almost like he can play any position on the defense. He's very versatile as a player. And not only that, he just always knows where to be. Yeah. And it's not, and again, this is not to take away from Luke Kuechly. It's not like he's some physical freak. He's just a really smart, really good football player. J.J. Watt's a physical freak. Like, it's not, you look at J.J. Watt, and it's not hard to figure out why he's good at what he does.
Yeah, he looks the part. Luke Kuechly looks like a...
Luke Kuechly's a grinder who... has just turned into, like, he's figured everything out.
Yeah. And I can't emphasize the tackling enough, because that's, when you make tackles the way he does, then guys are looking for you when they have the ball, because he's going to hit you, and he's going to force fumbles doing that. And that starts impacting the game just the same way that it impacts when J.J. Watt's out there, it impacts your offense.
Yep. I remember when... The year that he got drafted, the Bills picked right behind the Panthers. And I was like, please, please let Luke Kuechly fall. Because I thought Luke Kuechly was going to go top five.
Yeah.
And he ended up falling to 9, and the Panthers took him at 9 just before the Bills. Bills got Stephon Gilmore, who's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's no Luke Kuechly.
Let's try Jeff.
Texans got Whitney Merciless that year, by the way.
Well, so they were picking pretty far
small
down.
Small consolation.
They were picking pretty far down at
they
that
were.
Point. Let's try Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Lowest they've ever picked, I believe.
Guys, how you doing?
Doing sports.
Hey, a lot of talk has been about Von Miller and how he dominated and everything, but as an old Cowboys fan, it was really nice seeing DeMarcus Ware doing what he did towards the end of that game. And I'm just really pulling for Denver to win the Super Bowl, because DeMarcus Ware is one of those guys. He deserves a ring. He really deserves one for his type of career. He needs to get a ring before he leaves.
I don't disagree with that. That's why he's one of the best of his era at that position. And you know, I don't know if I want to get into like who deserves rings.
Yeah, because if we were just going to go on that, I would say Larry Fitzgerald deserved one as much as anybody.
Yeah,
and, you
know, but hell, I'd argue that Carson Palmer deserves one. There's a lot of guys who deserve rings, but you got to earn them at the end of the day. I hope that I. You know, I'd like to see DeMarcus Ware get a ring, too. But again, I look at some of these guys like Luke Kuechly, and I think he's absolutely deserving. Absolutely deserving.
Yeah, and Josh Norman, and I'll tell you what, they've done such a good job of creating offense without good receivers.
Oh yeah, Greg Olsen, talking about another guy who deserves a ring. At what percentage? Non-quarterbacks. Is there a guy who has more of an offense on his back? Maybe Adrian Peterson.
I'd say Gronk, but he has Edelman when he's healthy. No, I think it's
talking about with this team at full strength.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, he's the go-to guy, and I think Cam, while his rise has been pretty meteoric, I bet that he gives a lot of that credit to a guy like Greg Olsen, who is the ever-present. Not, and he's a security blanket, but he's also a playmaker.
And he blocks.
Yep, he does everything.
Yeah, that's what I think stands out about the Panthers. They have a lot of versatile guys and guys that can play a lot of positions. I think, by the way, I loved that run that Ted Ginn had for the touchdown.
That was pretty awesome.
That was awesome to watch.
Talk about another guy, Ted Ginn, who, I mean, we had pretty much written him off as a complete and total bust, right?
Yeah.
That guy was never going to live up to his first round, and I don't know if he ever will, but he's found himself the perfect situation there, the perfect fit, and he's a solid player for that team.
All right.
By the way, I'm looking at that 2012 draft.
Yeah.
These are some of the players that went before Luke Kuechly, and ask me if these teams feel regret. Ryan Tannehill, Morris Claiborne, Justin Blackmon, Trent Richardson, all went before Luke Kuechly in the draft.
I would call all of those Fs.
Oh, I'll give Tannehill a D. The rest are Fs.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Heck, asking the same question I've gotten about 10 times about Kubiak and the Super Bowl. I refer you back to the last segment on the podcast. We spent quite a bit of time on that. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take some phone calls. Talking about the championship games. Looking ahead to the Super Bowl. A lot of people mentioned, imagine if Benjamin was there. Would it make them better? Well, they'd be better, yeah. But everybody's missing somebody at this stage. And, yeah, that was a big loss for them. But I think it says a lot that they've had the offense they've had without him. And that's a credit to them. Let's try John. John, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about the 4th-and-1. I mean, you know, Belichick and them, they've had a lot of big wins off of gutsy calls like that. And I just feel like if they would have played it differently, take the field goal, maybe never see the ball again, a lot of calls would have came in, you know, the other way today saying, oh, I can't believe that. Out of all the chances they took, they, you know, didn't go for it there.
And, yeah, and I wasn't really trying to, and I hope, let me clarify, I wasn't trying to say it was necessarily a bad call. I was just thinking at that point of the game, I thought it was a curious decision. And doesn't mean I would have been right to kick the field goal. And there's no guarantee you make the field goal, especially since the guy's already missed an extra point. But I would have wanted to cut it to 5, thinking I'm going to get at least one more chance. And if you go, but the flip side thinking there is you only have 1 yard to get, you know, you need a touchdown and maybe you're not going to get back down there again. Maybe Denver plays differently.
Yeah, you need a touchdown either way.
Yeah. And maybe Denver plays differently. If it's a 5-point lead, maybe they take some more chances and maybe they keep the ball. So,
but I don't see why they would have played so much differently because they still needed a touchdown to lose, you know?
True. True.
I understood the logic. And who, first of all, who the hell am I or who the hell are any of us to question Bill Belichick on this stuff? That's the one guy who I'm going to say whatever he says is probably the right answer. But
I'm sure he thought all that out. And
I'm sure
he was thinking in terms of possessions that he had left and the way the game was going. And in some ways, I still think You cut it to five. There's 6 minutes left. You're going to get another possession. Now, you might not get a possession where you're within a score.
Right.
And a two-point conversion. But I just think whenever you're bringing a two-point conversion into play, that's not a high percentage thing, especially when it's so hard just to get a touchdown.
All right.
Let's try Brian real quick.
By the way, speaking of two-point conversions, why'd the Panthers go for two when they were up like 40 to 50?
Yeah, I have no idea. I really don't know why they did that.
That's strange.
And, yeah, let's try Brian. What's up, Brian?
Sports, guys.
Hey, sports.
Hey, so the conversation y'all were having a minute ago about guys who would make you feel good to see him win a ring, Larry Fitzgerald, Luke Kuechly. What about the inverse to that conversation? What if Greg Hardy had still been with the Panthers this year? It would have made my stomach churn a little bit seeing him celebrate, you know, on the field after a Super Bowl win. So,
listen,
what do you guys think about that?
There are guys that are going to be playing in this game that I'd rather not see win. You know, I don't like Michael Oher. I've never liked Michael Oher. That guy's going to win a freaking Super Bowl ring? Come on. That guy, I think he's terrible, but he's in position to win a Super Bowl ring.
He has played better for them.
He has.
And I think that's one thing that coaching staff has done, is gotten a lot out of some guys that were decent elsewhere, and they've actually played very well for the Panthers, and he's one of them. I thought, especially if you watched him in Tennessee, the brief time he was on the field there, that guy looked completely done.
Lost.
He completely done.
And when he was in Baltimore, he's a walking penalty.
Yeah.
You know, Von Miller has had every off the field issue you can imagine. You know, but. You're right. There's nobody like Greg Hardy or someone like that. But there are guys that I don't particularly like on either side. You know, I said this on Twitter yesterday during the game that I've never been a fan of Cam Newton's antics, the showboating, the dancing.
But J.J. Watt does the same thing, though.
Trust me, I'm no fan of that either. I find it obnoxious when you overtly celebrate individual things when your team is not very good. But now, Cam doesn't have that haunting him anymore. Dance away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like, I'm not really a fan of it, but you know what I do like? That dude is having fun playing football.
That he is.
And I like seeing that. He's enjoying it and enjoying the ride and there. And I think it's kind of helped the whole team, as a matter of fact.
I guess, like, when I see Aaron Rodgers do the discount double check, I think it's dumb. You know, but it's Aaron Rodgers, belt thing. But it's Aaron Rodgers, and he's, you know.
And he's parlayed a pretty good side business out of that as a spokesman.
He's doing all right for himself. That said, if Blake Bortles throws for a touchdown and starts acting like he's wearing a championship belt, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Are you insane? I mean, there's no place for it. It's like when Antonio Smith was doing the sword thing when they were 2-14.
Yeah, and they're down 21-3.
There's nothing worse than that, like dancing and showing out when you're on a bad team. And Cam bothered me because he had never had any team success in the NFL. Yet you would think that, you know, he's every first down he won the Super Bowl. Well, now it's hard to hate on him for it. It's still not my thing, but over the top celebration like that is never my thing. But now it annoys me less than it did now that Cam has led this team the way he has.
Well, and I hate stuff like the defensive back in a game where you're down 21 points doing the incomplete sign when you've been beaten four times in the game already. That to me is silly. And some of the stuff DJ used to do when he was here was just silly. But I also think in this case, I'll defend him a little bit. He's doing it because he's really enjoying playing the game.
Yep.
And it's not, I mean, yes, it's look at me, and I don't like it, but I'm kind of with you. It doesn't really bother me. I love it when people are enjoying being out there. All right.
It just bothers me when your
horse
team is bad.
Yeah.
And you're doing that. That bothers me. But now, I mean, this team is not, they're not bad. You want to have fun, you want to dance away, my man.
Yeah, I think that's part of when you have a team this good, you should enjoy it a little bit too.
Like someone yesterday on Twitter made it seem, and I'm sure there are some people who it is a race thing for them, but they were like, no one gets mad at Brady and Rodgers when they celebrate. And I was like, those guys are winners. And I said, it bothers me less now that he's a winner. But so it's not, to me, it's not a race thing. It's a, are you a good football player, or are you a good, are you a good football player that's contributing to your team's success? And if you're doing something like that, I'm okay with you dancing around and having fun. But like I said, if Blake Bortles is discount double checking to when he takes his team to 4-12, I think you're a total asshole.
5-11. Whatever. Give him credit. Don't sell him short.
My bad.
No, but I'm on record as saying I don't like it that J.J. Watt does it as much as he did.
He doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
But that's what J.J. Watt's a big brand. You know what I mean?
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.